All right, for your Wednesday TSL, the question now after the loss to Pittsburgh, does Tennessee go bowling? Postseason chat, not only that, who's the leader in the clubhouse to take over the Los Angeles program of the Pac-12? Lots of college football today on your Wednesday TSL. It begins now.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, the sports animal.
We get started, though, Tennessee. Bowling this year, is it still possible? Look, we can put aside all the talks of probation, NCAA violations, what could be. Right now, we have to work and act in the here and now. And Tennessee is still playing for that additional 13th game, Will West. But if you're a publication, if you're one of the major writers across America, others believe that that chance of going to a January, late December bowl game maybe took a shot with the loss to Pittsburgh. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. So, two guys I saw, Jerry Palm and Brett McMurphy.
Yep.
Both have Tennessee. They had Tennessee in bowl games. They no longer have Tennessee in a bowl game after the loss to Pittsburgh. Do you think the loss to Pittsburgh affects whether or not Tennessee goes bowling this year?
Affects? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Because when we have conversations in this building, in this station, in this room, between 6 and 9 a.m., Pittsburgh was a big part of whether or not Tennessee was going to be going bowling this year. If you remember a lot of the predictions, Kaner, I don't know if we said this word for word, but I know you and I were on a similar page. We would say Tennessee's going to go 6-6 this year with a loss to Pittsburgh, meaning, this is our actual quotes, or at least mine, meaning they're going to have to find a sixth win somewhere else. But I always had difficulties trying to tell you, the audience, whomever it was, where that sixth win was going to come from. Jerry Palm and Brett McMurphy clearly don't have a problem being like, oh, you didn't get Pittsburgh, there goes your sixth win.
You're not beating Missouri, you're not beating Kentucky.
Exactly.
That's what they're saying.
Exactly is what they're saying. Me, that's what I was trying to get at because I could never decide, are they going to Lexington and winning or are they going to Columbia, Missouri and winning? Sure, they can go 3-1 in non-conference, and I can give you Vanderbilt and South Carolina, but where's that sixth win coming from? Because if you ain't going to beat Ole Miss here in Knoxville, which you're not, then where are you going, Lexington or Columbia? Because if you ain't got one there, you don't have six wins this year.
I think it absolutely affects it because the margin for error was so slim. I mean, exactly. I thought they would beat Pitt, and I had it been 7-5 because I thought they would beat Pitt. But, I mean, the margin for error is so unbelievably slim at this point. If there's one loss you take, if you lose to both those teams, you're done, right? Or if there's a loss you take we didn't expect, you're done. Right. So, yeah, it definitely affects it. Do you change your record outlook based on the first 2 weeks of performances from Tennessee?
I do now because I don't know if Joe Milton's going to be the starting quarterback. And I still believe Joe Milton's the best quarterback on this roster. And I know that because I see the track record of Josh Heupel tells me that when he picks quarterbacks, those are the quarterbacks that they run with, and those quarterbacks get better, and they find success in this season. I hope that the injury from from Joe Milton doesn't force them to change quarterbacks, and then all of a sudden I start thinking, okay, now perhaps maybe there's other games that are back on the table against certain teams. You know, you made reference a couple weeks back before the season started. Listen, you lose South Carolina. You out there, you're losing to Shane Beamer's program. Man, you got to readjust, not just this season, but perhaps maybe the program as a whole, because Carolina is just not as good as a lot of people make it out to believe. I'm not there yet with South Carolina, and I know the teams that they've beaten. It's like, Ivins, I hope you're not jumping up and down about wins against X team or Y team. What I'm trying to get at, though, is I believe there are some games that are on the table again because the change at quarterback, if there isn't significant improvement quickly.
South Carolina, I still think they beat them. The key for me is this with Tennessee. Are you going to have the quarterback figured out or not? Right? If you have the quarterback figured out, you can beat both. You could still lose to both if you have the quarterback figured out. But you can absolutely beat both of them. I think you can play with Ole Miss if you've got the quarterback figured out. Because Ole Miss has the quarterback figured out. But if you don't have the quarterback figured out, you are not going to play with any of those teams. So they've got to get it figured out between now and then. So does the light switch come on at some point in time for Joe Milton? Or does Hendon Hooker, is he capable of going at a tempo that Tennessee wants to go at for them to be the most effective? Because it's tough when if you got Hendon Hooker and you're already taking away the deep ball, and that should the vertical passing game's off the table, and then also you're going to remove the tempo game off the table. That's just too much, right? That's too much for you to be effective. So if it's Hendon Hooker the rest of the way, I think I could see 5-7. I'll still say 6-6. You watch Kentucky, Missouri. I did too.
Yep.
Those are not great teams. They're not bad teams, but they're not great teams, and you could absolutely beat both of those teams.
I'm glad that we agree on this, that there was nothing, even though it was an exciting game between the Tigers and Wildcats. I'm glad that you didn't take anything away that made you believe, oh, okay, these teams are significantly better than Tennessee.
If Tennessee figures out the quarterback and they can go at the tempo they want to and they're snapping the ball every 30 seconds, that's a team Tennessee could beat either one of. Because I think they would both struggle to go at that pace and to put points up with Tennessee if they can go there. But it is not a foregone conclusion by any stretch of the imagination that Tennessee's going to have the quarterback figured out by the time we get there.
Look, it's another day. It's another set of questions. It's another kind of what happens in the world of Tennessee football. Do you believe, without any announcement from Josh Heupel, does that mean that he's waiting on Joe Milton to be healthy? Is he giving Joe Milton every ounce, every bit of time to try to be healthy for this Tennessee Tech game?
And Joe Milton at the top of the two-deep, Caner? Did Caner walk out again? Any at the top of the two deep? I want to say somebody told me that yesterday.
Yeah, he is, but yeah. I mean that two deep, they don't change it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's not been a change since they've issued it, 2.5 weeks ago. But so
I think Milton's going to be the quarterback. I think Milton probably, if he can go, I think Milton should be the quarterback this week. And if he can't figure it out this week, well then you sit him until he's ready. But I think this week you play both and you see what's happening there.
Do you believe that this week could be a little bit of fool's gold though for the quarterback position?
What do you mean? Yeah. We're not going to learn anything this week. Look, well, here's what we could learn. If Joe Milton hits four deep bombs and it's like, all right, he figured that out. Put Joe Milton back out there, right, for Florida. That's the only thing you could, or if he misses again, two or three.
Yeah.
We figured something out about Joe Milton. He ain't ready for Florida.
I'm just thinking overall, even if he does hit a couple of deep bombs here, maybe your comfort level of airing it out, maybe not getting enough separation between the secondary at Tennessee Tech, it's not as worrisome. You know what I mean? I mean, I know Joe Milton's absolutely just roping balls past wide receivers because it's either my guy's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. You might have a little bit more room for error if you're getting more separation away from the secondary, much like Tennessee's been getting. And if you believe Pat Narduzzi yesterday, I had a chance to go back and rewatch Pittsburgh's press conference to start this week. They're going to take on fill-in-the-blank Mac opponent, as he kept referring to them. Tennessee was only getting separation from our DBs this past Saturday because of late push-offs, and only some of them were being called. Pat Narduzzi, even though he got the win, was still taking shots at the officiating in Knoxville last
night. It was not good officiating, but I'll just say this. If you're pushing and shoving and the other team's pushing and shoving back, Narduzzi, you want to play physical, the other team gets to play physical with you too.
Exactly. They just said there were some times that only a few of those, which we saw one of those pass interference calls made, the OPI, on that drive, Joe Milton got Tennessee down to the four. Add on top of false start, Cade Mays clearing the pile, Cedric Tillman trying to separate himself. Again, maybe the officiating wasn't the best, but again, some things did stand out from yesterday's press conference in Pittsburgh. You're going to hear from Pat Narduzzi coming up before 7 a.m. this morning.
I would say this, though. I have to change my record prediction because I had Tennessee beating Pitt. So 6-6 is where I have Tennessee right now. Do you still have Tennessee at 6-6?
I do, because I still believe, after even watching Missouri-Kentucky this past Saturday night, that Tennessee, they're on the same level or same tier some way, shape, or form with those teams.
Eric, do you still have Tennessee at 6-6?
Yeah, I still have Tennessee at 6-6. I originally had Pittsburgh as a loss. I have Tennessee beating one of Missouri or Kentucky, beating Vanderbilt, South Carolina. So 6-6 still very much on the table for me.
Yeah, so again, I don't think we've – I guess Palm and McMurphy think, okay, they don't have the quarterback figured out, let's move on. Or Pitt was the sixth win for them, and they always thought they were going to lose to both Missouri and Kentucky.
Caner, stay with us. We got a Tennessee Lottery Sports Update at 6:10 for your September 15th Wednesday TSL on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Saints have a total of 8 members of the organization that have tested positive for COVID-19, putting their game in question for Sunday against the Panthers. 6 offensive coaches, 1 player, and a nutritionist are said to have been the positives. 49ers running back Raheem Mostert will have season-ending knee surgery. Raiders guard Denzel Good has a torn ACL. He'll be out for the year. The Broncos have placed wideout Jerry Jeudy and cornerback Ronald Darby on IR, and the Bills are requiring all fans attending home games to be vaccinated. In the NBA, the Rockets and John Wall have agreed to work together to find a trade destination for the point guard. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion to support educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. Is USC still a top 5 job in the country? We'll discuss on the other side, 6:11, right here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
He refers to Dolly Parton as the one that got away. Tyler Ivins in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
And he said USC is still a top five job. And here are the five that he threw out. Said bet top five off the top of mind. Number one, Texas. Number two, Alabama. Number three, USC. Number four, Ohio State. Number five, Georgia. But those are the top five jobs in college football right now. Let me ask you this, Ivins. Is USC still a top five job?
No. And in my opinion, USC hasn't been a top five job since Pete Carroll left. I think it's Pete Carroll not only saw violations for coming, but I think he knew for the longest time, even when he was winning, how difficult it was to actually get fans to come and see his product. Like, even when they were winning national championships, he wasn't out drawing the Lakers,
yeah,
Clippers, Dodgers, Angels.
Barely sold out games. Yeah, it wasn't every game was sold out.
Exactly. So, you know, to me, USC hasn't been on that level for some time, even before Carroll left. Now that Carroll's been gone for some time and they continue just to go in and out of coaches or continue to extend Clay Helton and have a mediocre product on the field, it still hasn't been good and still hasn't been to that level. Out of those five schools you just listed in Joel Klatt's top five, I only have two of those in my top five.
Okay, give me your top five then.
In reverse order, I would go Florida at number five. I'd go Oklahoma at number four. Ohio State's at number three. Notre Dame's at number two, and Georgia's at number one.
Georgia's at number one. Mm-hmm. Now, look, I think Georgia's a really, really good job. We lived in Georgia for a while, elementary school, most of middle school. And it's amazing the way that there's so much talent in that state, and Georgia owns that state, dominates that state, yeah, mentally. So it's just a matter of you should be able to just recruit Georgia and be really darn good, much less can you pull a player from South Carolina, can you pull a player from Florida, can you pull a player from Texas, something like that.
Absolutely.
So it is. I don't know that because of the lack of competition in that state for players, I don't know that there shouldn't be a state that's easier to recruit to.
That's why I kind of looked at it. It's one of the best jobs, and you already kind of have what you have already in place there in the state. On top of all those things you already mentioned, it just seems like it's easy to recruit there. The platform, the springboard to already have great products in that state's there. And then you also have the state of Florida that you can also establish a pipeline to as well.
All right. Do you, Cater, think USC's a top five job right now?
No, they didn't make my top five. I had many of the same that Tyler just mentioned. Clemson, Oklahoma, Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State would be my top five. Alabama for, you know, reasons that are many. You know, if Nick Saban leaves, I don't want to follow him.
No, I'm not.
You kidding me?
I'm not taking that job.
And again, I have Clemson in here, and Dabo's done a fantastic job. Dabo's not Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Clemson's not Alabama.
Now, the one thing about Alabama,
same reason why I didn't put Clemson on my list, is the same reason what you just said about Alabama. I don't want to follow Dabo Sweeney.
Yeah, would I want to follow him? No.
That's why I have Florida in there over Clemson.
But are they the same as Alabama? In my opinion, no.
I would put USC in the top five because clearly they'll stand by you and you can suck as long as you want to, and it'll take a long time for you to get fired.
You're not wrong about that.
And they'll pay you, right? So I would probably say the number, right? And here's the thing. The tough part's what's your criteria? Because if I'm Bob Stoops and I can have any coaching job in the nation right now, what are the jobs I'm taking, right? I'm taking, because I would, Texas is normally a top five job. Point blank it is. I don't know that I would touch the Texas job right now because of everything that just happened. Dude, they just fired a coach for not making black players. The guy said he wasn't going to make black players sing a song that has a threat towards slaves to keep them from running away in it. Like that's true. Like that really happened. I'm not even trying to bring up anything social or racial involved with it, but that's the truth of the matter. They fired a guy because of that. I don't know if I want to walk into that right now. At least it seems like Sarkisian's clearing that up. Whether he can coach or not, we'll find out. But yeah, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to follow Saban. I don't want to follow Dabo. So if I'm looking at the five jobs I would take right now, again, historically, probably I look at Texas as the number one job. Florida's the number two job. Number three is probably Ohio State for me. Number four is USC. And number five is LSU. I think LSU's the last three coaches have won national championships at LSU. They will literally let you do anything and you will get away with it at LSU. You can be caught on tape cheating, and they will back you at LSU. You can be a horrible scumbag of a human being, and they will not fire you at LSU. So I'd look at LSU as I'm going to get a ton of money. I've got a ton of players. I know that it's back and forth between Louisiana and South Carolina as far as the number of NFL players per capita in a state. But I would put LSU in that top five because you've got the facilities, you've got the boosters who are already in line, and you can just, and it's tough to win there, but man, can you can automatically get players and you can do literally anything you want, and they'll back you.
I can't believe, you know what? I can't believe that a team came out of the SEC West and it wasn't Alabama for you.
I would not touch that job right now. And also, I think that wherever Nick Saban's going to go is going to win a ton. I don't think the next guy's coming to Alabama and winning a ton like this. I don't. And I think the expectation's going to be there that he's going to. I have had so many conversations when I've been in Hoover over the years with Alabama fans that I'm like, dude, y'all can't expect a national title every year. Yeah, we can. Yeah, Saban loses two games, they should fire him. And I'm like, holy crap.
Well, he has lost two games, and was there chances he was going to get fired? I'm trying to get at is simply this. At LSU, do you not have any concern that you're having to compete with recruiting with Alabama in the same division, knowing that, granted, those coaches have won national championships. You are right about that. But knowing that your job could be staked every year about going head-to-head with Nick Saban, and when it comes down to renewing your contract, all they're going to do is they don't care about what recruits you pulled in, how many stars, what you did in your community. They just want to know what your head-to-head record is against Nick Saban.
Yeah,
if you win 1 out of 4 years.
Yeah, but do they only care about that? I don't know that they only care about that. that place is wild and crazy. And so, and I think you can win a ton, and you're going to have a great fan base, and you can go get players all over the place. I don't know that you've got to beat Saban more than once out of every 5 years. I don't know that you have to. Also, don't think Saban's going to be there 5 years. So I want to look at that and look at it that way as well.
How did Ed Orgeron land one of the top five jobs in college football, in your opinion?
Because they got turned down their job for Texas, and I bet he regrets it.
Well, you mean Saban's not going to be there until, what is it, 2027?
Yeah.
Just a little over 5 years.
Well, so. So, Saban's not going to be there that long. So
I don't think so either.
I think that you can eat, whoever follows him is going to fail. And so you can walk right in, and you're immediately at the top of that. Jimbo ain't going nowhere. So look, and don't get me wrong, Jimbo's a fine coach. It's just I think I can get past Texas A&M if I'm the LSU coach. If I'm Bob Stoops or somebody like that, I can take LSU past A&M. That's fine.
Yeah. It's like falling past somebody here.
Yeah, you don't want to touch that.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, come on. And especially if Pat had won every year, the expectation was she was winning a national title when she was leaving. You know what I mean? If it had sustained that level of success and there were no medical issues and she just walked away, like that's, woof, that is tough.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Is USC still a top five job in college football? They might be seventh in their city when it comes to products and sports.
I know. But think about it, man. Like, you get paid like it's a top job, and there's not a ton of pressure. That's not, and the competition in the Pac-12 South is not great.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. TSL continues on the other side next. Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal here on WNML. That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Should I just leave Pittsburgh in last week? Should I just leave Pittsburgh in the rearview mirror?
No, there's a lot to still break down there. There's a lot. I mean, we learned a lot from that game, right? That was a measuring stick game for Tennessee.
Yeah.
And Tennessee, it turns out that they, like, you know what I mean, they have a pretty solid measuring stick. It's just, I don't know, it's some type of weird metric system that they only have in, like, Cambodia or something.
Yeah. I did pick Pittsburgh to beat Tennessee. I said that for a very long time. I did not expect to see that Pittsburgh team, I'm going to be real. I thought that defense was going to be a little bit more stingy, even against the high-powered offense that Josh Heupel brings to the field each and every Saturday. Point is, a win's a win for Pittsburgh. And there were a lot of people. Remember last week we were talking about how some people were maybe photoshopping some of Pat Narduzzi's comments, and we had to correct some of the people on social media because they thought one comment was another about what Pat Narduzzi did say or didn't say. Well, you don't need to fake comments this week, because Pat Narduzzi, yesterday, he met with the media. It was an opportunity for him to kind of look back on Tennessee, look ahead to what's coming up this week. Well, he actually did share some comments about what the crowd sounded like at Neyland Stadium, in particular in the fourth quarter. Give this a listen. Narduzzi, during his weekly press conference, recapping the victory in Knoxville.
Our fans were unbelievable. You know, I heard they were unbelievable. I actually had a video sent to me Friday night, how they took over Knoxville, I guess. You know, our fans were unbelievable. They were really, really good. We need that again this weekend. They helped us win that football game. We can't do it together. You know, we talk about we, not me. And the we part of it is our fans were there. You felt them. You heard them. You know, I think early in the game, they were yelling and chanting SEC, SEC. And then late in the game, I heard a, you know, ACC, you know, come, you know, crashing down in Neyland Stadium. So it was, they were impressive. They were good. It was fun to sing the fight song with them in that atmosphere. Got quiet in the fourth quarter. Pretty quiet in there.
Things got kind of quiet in Neyland Stadium in the fourth quarter.
You got to ask about it so much. To me, that's not it's not nothing. It's not a ton. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you get to say things. That wasn't him cutting a promo, but at the same time, he gets to say things like that when you win the game.
Well, none of us were in the we're sitting in the stands, so I guess I can't say for sure. But I mean, the fourth quarter, I mean, that was the most intense part of the football game.
Yeah.
Tennessee was making a comeback. Tennessee could have, I mean, fourth down stop, third down spot, all that. I mean, I don't feel like it was quiet, Tyler.
Maybe right at the end.
Maybe right at the end.
Yeah, whenever they after were they handed Hooker interceptions, when what I felt were, like it became kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
when Tennessee had shut down the run all game long, and then Tennessee couldn't get the ball back one final time. After the defense, mind you, made two stops to give Tennessee the ball back to try to tie that game.
I was
up.
About to say that I didn't. That was pretty darn loud when that shank punt happened.
Yeah,
but to your point, Will, I mean, he won the football game. He can say whatever he wants.
He gets to bump his gums a little bit.
But to me,
won the game.
I don't know if that. I don't know how accurate that is, but then again, I was not sitting in the stands.
You're right. He's lying. That's the one thing I would say. So both could be true. Both could be true that he's lying, but he gets to tell that lie if he wants to because of the fact that he won the
now,
game.
Now, the Friday night, I too saw pictures and videos, so he is not lying there.
Pitt took over the town.
Did Pitt take over the town?
Oh, really?
Market Square, the old city, they were everywhere. I had videos. I had pictures sent to me. I mean, I don't know if they quote-unquote took over the town, but they were everywhere.
They were like, so, okay, give me the fan base that you've seen take over the town more than any other fan base
here in Knoxville or just overall
just in here in Knoxville.
Oregon,
I would say LSU is the one that I would the Dooley year that they were here, that LSU year. I've never seen anybody take it over like LSU took it over, but nope, it was the time before that they were here, but I've never seen anybody take it over like LSU takes a town over. But Oregon was really close, and they were awesome, man.
They were super awesome.
They were fit. That's the best fan base I've ever seen take over.
I'm
the
glad
town.
We agree on this. Usually I don't like it when you and I agree. That Oregon game where they came here and just, well, did what Oregon did.
Yeah, they did what they did.
And then they came back. Then Tennessee turned around and went out to Oregon, and then they got to have what happened to them. That Oregon team, that fan base that came out that year in Knoxville, it was a real rainy Saturday.
Yeah.
They were, even though it was raining, they were like, we're all right, ducks floating pond. We're like, okay, cool.
They were fun, though. They were really nice. They wanted. It's cool to see fan bases like that are kind of new money. That want to enjoy that old school atmosphere because they don't get to see it. Because if you think about the old school atmospheres in the Pac-12, it's USC, UCLA, and nobody goes to those games. So they were excited about, Oregon fans were excited
plus,
about being able to come see
everything. Some type of unspoken alliance with Tennessee years later.
They
where
did,
it's just
yes.
like, okay.
They really
cool.
enjoyed their, you know who was another one though, and it was different but similar, was Oklahoma. Oklahoma fans wanted to soak up everything they could about the Tennessee experience and tour the campus and see the statues. And that's what, you know what I mean? And so well, we were at Calhoun's the day that their quarterback club ate at Calhoun's the Friday before. And Josh and I were at Calhoun's that day. And they had the big room upstairs at Calhoun's down the river. And they kept coming down, introducing themselves during the break and asking about things. Where can we learn about this? And where is there, y'all, is there like a museum here for Tennessee football we can go to? And like, there was a lot of respect from Oklahoma about having another old school historic program like that. What was Pitt like? So I went around campus.
See, neither was I.
I'll be honest with you. Since they changed the strip, I don't go down campus anymore.
Exactly.
If I got to do anything down there, I just cut through the fort until I find the street I need to go on and then shoot directly onto campus from there.
I mean, to be completely honest with you guys, I mean, unless I'm hanging out, and I haven't done this in years since I've actually started covering the team, unless I'm hanging out at Gate 21 with you guys doing college football today, just chilling. I mean, I'm not really around the stadium or around campus prior to the game, so I don't see much. I park, I walk in, and I go to the press box.
Yeah, I'm Fieldhouse Social and University Commons. Now that you have that area, and I can walk up to something, or I can get everything I need to there, it's either I'm at University Commons, I'm in the fort, or I go exactly to the exact place on campus I have to go and right back out.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, when I did leave after the press conference was over, because I had to walk a little bit to get to my car, because we don't have enough parking passes here in the building. I passed a lot, and I do mean a lot of Pittsburgh fans waiting on the Cat bus. They were like openly giving up their seats. Like, no, Tennessee fans, you guys go first. I'm going to hang out with some more Pittsburgh fans a lot longer. I made that walk up Philip Fulmer to get back to the strip. And when we got to the top of the strip, me and the guy I was walking with, there was blue everywhere. Everywhere.
I was told,
I thought it was pregame.
Really? I was told BYU.
This was an hour and a half after the game was over,
same.
Will.
Yeah, I was told BYU was really, really good, but it was like instead of drinking at the tailgate, they were eating Chick-fil-A. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So,
but
I was told that they were cool and there were a ton of BYU fans that were here as well.
Yeah.
God, you know what? Now that I think about it, and they were doing super nice things like cleaning up like after themselves, donating a lot of donating a lot of money to like local charities that are in town.
Not urinating on the sidewalk in broad daylight in front of your kids.
Exactly.
Georgia fans.
Not acting like college freshmen.
People were giving out free buttons. It was just like, beat BYU in orange and white. BYU fans are like, God bless you. BYU loves UT. And it was like, God, come on, guys. It's football. We're supposed to be mad at each other. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900.
Did you have beef with Narduzzi saying that?
A little bit.
I did. See, here's the thing.
Got pretty quiet in there.
It's not a big deal to me, except for, dude, you got outplayed for the game.
That's why.
The other team just
pooped their pants. That's why it's so frustrating, because like, you should have lost that game.
You got gifted something.
I feel whistle dirty for even picking that.
Whistle past the graveyard and accept the win because that you lucked into because the other team pooped their pants. And whistle past the graveyard, move on the next week.
Like, my whole thing is like, all right, Pat, I see what you're doing here.
I see what you're doing, Pat.
Like, okay, dude, like, I get it. Like, does it make me mad? No, but it's like, all right, bud. Okay. I mean, like you just said, I mean, if one thing goes in the many, 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 many things that went against Tennessee and was self-inflicted by Tennessee,
right?
It's hard to play this game. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But if one or two of those things go Tennessee's way, or you don't commit one or two of those penalties or whatever the case may be, I mean, you're losing by 7 to 10 points.
Yes, and so I think that you bring on the bad juju whenever you do that. Whenever you're out there bumping your gums on something you lucked into, and I'm sorry, but I think Pat Narduzzi lucked into winning that game on Saturday.
Accurate. That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Cater, stick around. Keep that mic hot. Tennessee Lottery Sports Update, 640 for your Wednesday morning.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Saints have a total of 8 members of the organization who have tested positive for COVID-19, putting their game in question for Sunday against the Panthers. 49ers running back Raheem Mostert will have season-ending knee surgery. NBA, the Rockets and John Wall have agreed to work together to find a trade destination for the point guard. Aaron Gordon and the Denver Nuggets have agreed on a 4-year, $92 million extension. The U.S. Soccer Federation announced Tuesday that it's offered both the United States men's and women's national teams identical proposals for a new collective bargaining agreement. In 2011, National League MVP and Brewers franchise home run leader Ryan Braun announced his retirement while the Braves came up short 5-4 to the Rockies. Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $6 billion in sport educational programs in Tennessee. To learn more, visit tnlottery.com. We got Woodge on the other side right here on TSL. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
This has been a big announcement.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Now, gentlemen, Sunday, September 26th, will be the debut of the Kenny Chesney-produced SEC Network film More Than a Voice, featuring John Ward and other famous play-by-play voices from the South. Would you say this will be an instant watch?
You got to see this. The trailer they released for it, I saw it yesterday, and I was blown away immediately. Turned my television on, which I'm not going to go through that process. It can be a challenge at times. Made sure I pulled up the guide, skipped ahead to Sunday the 26th, and hit DVR record immediately. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, no, I this is instant watch. Yep. I absolutely think this is instant watch. I have a buddy, Jake, send me the video yesterday, and I was like, okay, this is rad.
Yeah.
So, no, I loved it, and I am all on board with this.
Bob Stoops, Chris Peterson are just a few names that have been tied to the opening at USC. Who would you say ultimately takes the opening in Los Angeles?
Matt Campbell.
No.
I think it should be Matt Campbell. I think it will be Matt Campbell. I think that they need to go with someone who's great at player development, and Matt Campbell's a guy that never gets guys in trouble, and they are fantastic at player development because you can get talent to USC. So Matt Campbell's the guy they need to hire. Matt Campbell should take that job, and I think he would win that conference a lot.
You gotta let your boy fly, Tyler.
It's not that because
but nobody's trying to live in Ames, Iowa. No,
you're right. They're not, but it's not the right answer because everybody knows who the right answer is. If anybody knows anything, any fan base should know about an AD coming in and bringing back maybe a buddy of his, rubbing elbows with somebody. We know who it is. I mean, we've already learned that here with Danny White bringing in Josh Heupel, Mike Bone. Where was he before he was at USC?
Cincinnati.
You got it. So where's he going to go to get his next head football coach?
Luke Fickell.
It's going to be Luke Fickell. Now, I said yesterday that you need to be on the watch out of Matt Campbell taking the job of wherever the next head coach at USC is going to be plucked from. That's not going to happen. He ain't going to leave Ames to go to Cincinnati. Matt Campbell, I'm speaking of now. But it's Mike Bohm going to go pluck Luke Fickell away from Cincinnati.
The NFLPA has asked Roger Goodell to reinstate Josh Gordon after completing a treatment program. Would you want to see your team sign the 30-year-old?
Talent-wise, yes. But my biggest fear is that this is a demon he'll never be able to conquer. I'm going to be honest. I think this will be the fifth time he's at least tried to sign up for reinstatement. Look, I think everybody should be given extra opportunities. My question with Josh Gordon is whether it's mentally, whether it's substance abuse, whatever it may be, is this a lost cause? The talent's there. And I think that might be a little bit of a question, too. Am I already just being too generous? Josh Gordon at 23 was fantastic, was setting NFL records. Will, can you do the same thing as Josh Gordon, the NFL wide receiver at 30?
No. I would have no problem with my team signing him because there's going to be no risk to it whatsoever.
He shows up
and either he's got a roster spot and he's at least pretty good or he's gone. So also, what's he going to mess up with the Giants? Josh Gordon, come on, where are you? Trade
Sterling right? Shepard looked great.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard looked fine. The jabronis on the sideline did not look fine. The coaching staff. The jabronis in the front office are not fine. So,
I just heard you say the Giants signed Josh Gordon, they're winning the East this year.
That's what I guaranteed it.
Get him in before Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. So, no, I would have no problem with it whatsoever because there is no risk.
It was on this date in 2004 when Gary Bettman announced the NHL would be locked out for the season. Which pro league would you say can ill afford to shut down their sport? That would be Major League Baseball.
It is Major League Baseball.
Bingo.
Because
it's
the only sport besides football that opening day matters. In the NBA, you know what most fans would say? Good, it's too long anyway. Let me wake me up when the playoffs start, right? Yeah. So the NBA would actually benefit from it. The NHL could, like, at this point, they've had so many lockouts and such that if you're still watching the NHL, then
you're never leaving.
You're never leaving. There's nothing they could ever do to you whatsoever.
Absolutely.
So Major League Baseball is the one because you're on the cusp. I mean, you're on the cusp of being the NHL. And so you cannot afford to have a lockout. Cannot afford it.
Move on to question five. He said literally everything verbatim, word for word, what I would say. And by the way, boys, spoiler alert, they're locking out this year.
Oh, you think so?
I know so.
Oh.
If you guys hate Rob Manfred, guess what the final nail is? The death nail where they will not come to an agreement. Whoever wins the World Series this year, enjoy it. Because you're going to get to be World Series champion probably until they get a season moved in like August and everybody will be gone by then.
I mean, I don't really have an issue with Rob Manfred. I think he's fine. SNL cast member.
And you said you'd never lie on this program again.
Clearly, I'm lying. SNL cast member Norm Macdonald passed away at the age of 61 on Thursday. What would you say is Macdonald's best work?
It's everything he did on Saturday Night Live. You know, from Weekend Update. I said this yesterday. There's so much more to Norm Macdonald than his role of playing Burt Reynolds whenever they did Celebrity Jeopardy. Guys, I can honestly say there have not been too many times in my life where I've fallen on the ground, felt like I've urinated on myself or busted a gut. Watching him chomp that gum, call himself Todd Ferguson. Oh, my. Guys, I even go to YouTube sometimes and I still laugh as if it's the first time I've watched it. 61 years of age, and that's such a Norm Macdonald thing to do, like not tell anybody he's battling cancer, and then he just passes away. So, to me, it's the Burt Reynolds character he would play on Celebrity Jeopardy SNL.
Yeah, God rest his soul. I will say it's Dirty Work. If you've never seen Dirty Work, it is absolutely magnificent. And the movie line, that whole bit with the movie line with Artie Lang is glorious. So, if you've never seen the movie Dirty Work, in celebration of the life of Norm Macdonald, you should watch the movie Dirty Work.
New Balance Knoxville. Each and every time we need the perfect fit, no matter the climate, no matter the season, no matter the where, we know Sharon and her staff, a high five, a smile, hard work each and every time at New Balance Knoxville.
You're buying local when you buy at New Balance Knoxville. The perfect fit every time with the fit test that they give you. Wide sizes, extra wide sizes like I need. They have them, and you'll love the styles and colorways they have for fall. It's New Balance Knoxville.
It's Tennessee.